But he'll be here later today, but he does present his apologies for not attending. Francois, can we move on to leases?
Can you push the button?
Oh, you want to go on? I deliberately turned you off.
I say I get all the good jobs introducing leases. In contrast to Francoise's introduction to revenue recognition, where I think she said that the view back from the outreach we'd done was very much that our constituents were not convinced that you need to change the existing standards, our constituents in this particular one were very convinced that you don't need to change the existing standards, and that the direction of travel was not an improvement on IAS 17. That message was very strongly reinforced at the meeting of the national standard setters that we had, the European national standard setters, last week. And therefore, I think the very strong message is that we do think you need a fundamental rethink on this one before you take it further. I think that the rationale underlying that is that I do think that the starting point for the project, which was to bring onto the balance sheet those liabilities which were connected with asset financing, fine. I think the concern that we have is as rather as the boards went through the thought process when they were doing their redeliberations, we do not see that all leases as currently defined or proposed to be defined actually are of a nature of financing assets. A lot of them strike us as being more in the nature of some form of service, albeit that an asset or assets may be utilised in the performance of that service. And I think, therefore, we were very comfortable with the direction the board seemed to be going in at one stage of drawing some distinction between those two. We can argue about whether or not the consequential accounting was appropriate, and I think we don't necessarily believe it was, because we think that actually if you haven't got something in the nature of an asset financing liability, you shouldn't be attempting to bring it on balance sheet. So that's very much our strong message at the moment on that one.
So, sorry, I got two messages there, I think. One was, you started by saying, leave it to status quo, very happy with IAS 17. But then, as you talked on a bit further, you kind of said, well, you might be dragging in some services and maybe some of these contracts are not financing contracts. But I was kind of hearing that maybe the definitions we have at the moment are under 17 wouldn't be where you'd go in a perfect world. Is that true?
There's no such thing as the perfect world. I think based on where we see it at the moment, we think that IAS 17 is a better answer than where the board seem to be heading.
But is there a better answer than IAS 17?
There may well be, but is it so much better that it comes back to the 80-20 rule that it is worth striving for at this point in time? And certainly we are not convinced that in the direction you're going in is better. In fact, we are very unconvinced.
I have to say I find that comment astounding. One thing I thought we did get from the responses, and we got, you know, a whole array of feedback on the issues and some concerns about operational aspects of the document, but I thought we got pretty strong support on the basic approach, the right of use approach, that a lease contract gives rise to an asset and a liability. And that we should recognise the assets and liabilities in the balance sheet. And you're now saying IAS 17 is keep it because that's not broken. I think it is demonstrably broken. So how do you rationalise that, Mike?
I think there is support for the right of use model for those transactions which are providing genuine finance for assets. What we're unconvinced of is that you're drawing lines in the right places. And frankly, we believe that where the line is drawn currently in IAS 17 about what is reflected on and off the balance sheet is actually a better place than where you're currently heading. Simple as that.
Which, and where we're currently heading is to have all rights and obligations that are materials on the balance sheet.
including a number which we would not regard as having the nature, in the same way as you went through that same deliberation of there are some leases whose purpose and clear intent is financing, and there are others which have different purposes and are constructed differently. The same thought process that led you to draw that distinction, we think is valid. And we do not agree that the ones where you conclude they are not financing transactions live on the balance sheet.
But when we drew that distinction, we still kept them on the balance sheet. So are you saying that you did not create an asset or a liability in those cases? Only 17 that are not finance leases. That's what you're saying? Because that's the import of it.
Sorry, when you say 17, we're saying that
17, if it's not a finance lease, it's an operating lease. The import is then they're not assets and liabilities that should be on the balance sheet. Is that what you're saying?
In the sense that is the current place where IS 17 draws the line, can it be improved? We would probably say yes, it can be improved. But not move it so far as everything which would be classified as a lease under 17 lives on the balance sheet, or even everything you're proposing to classify as a lease under your redefinition lives on the balance sheet.
So that's slightly different message to your original message that we should just stay with 17.
I'd like to chip in. I think what Mike started to say is what we heard in our outreach events and what we heard from the national standard setters. Okay. So we moved on, and Mike moved on, explaining where we see the board is. You started in a project saying, leases are financing transactions. Let's recognize them on the balance sheet so that financial liabilities are represented similarly. That's a very strong introduction to the project. In the course of the project, based on the consultation you had, you have acknowledged that among those arrangements, you had different types. Some were financing transactions, others were not. And what we are trying to tell you is that having, in the course of your consultation process, stumbled on a very different premise from where you started, you certainly can conclude that the right of use model is appropriate to reflect those arrangements which are financing transactions. It is just not appropriate, and it would not be in the thinking that the ISB usually has to say, well, I have a group here of transactions which are different. Let's account for them similarly. So we say, having come to that point, when we say you should have a fundamental rethink, is look at those arrangements, see how you can distinguish those which are financing transactions from others, and those others, our recommendation so far would be to leave them accounted for as other service arrangements, which is outside of the balance sheet. And otherwise, you create, in fact, a different accounting treatment. So you account for different arrangements similarly, and at the same time, you create a difference in accounting among service arrangements of various types. And unfortunately, in this context, one of the board members has written an article in your investors' perspectives venture initiative, saying that one of the highest priorities for the board should be the recognition of all executed contracts. So if you have that in the context, although also part of the consultation process has identified that constituents at large, among them a lot of users, didn't want executed contracts to come to the balance sheet. So that's why we say either you drop the project, but if you don't, you make a stop, you will think of how to characterize the transactions that you want to bring to the balance sheet, you explain, and you rationalize how you account for different things differently, and eventually you go on.
Okay. I would hope the staff will come back shortly, but I'll just let Roger have a say first.
I think actually Francois has said most of what I wanted to say. I think the overwhelming feedback from our constituents is concern would be too light a word, I think, about directional travel. I think IS17 can be improved, but it's an awful lot better than where we see the board heading at the moment. And that's why we're suggesting that the board stops and just thinks again about this. I mean, I think there's been a lot of good work which could be used to improve IS17, but I'm not sure that the work at the moment justifies where the board are going.
So Roger, is that dropping the whole idea of a right of use asset?
Not necessarily, but I think it's not using rights of use assets for just as it might have been on the balance sheet.
Well, we don't want to put services on the balance sheet, quite clearly, and this isn't about executory contracts, but it is about putting assets and liabilities on the balance sheet. And they just pulled up your comment letter, or the ASB comment letter, and it was very clear answering question one. ASB agrees that lessees should recognize a right of use asset and a liability to make lease payments. Arguments are as follows. Pretty unequivocal support for exactly what we're trying to do.
Yeah, who signed it?
Well, it predates Roger, but it doesn't predate David.
Hang on, David, I'm trying.
Exercising some power over you, David.
Oh, there, this way.
What's new?
That is true, Steve. I mean, conceptually, I think we do support the model, but if you go on in that letter, I think we have a whole heap of practical issues and consequences where we have concerns.
Right, and we've been debating all of those at length.
And that is part of the issue of where we're coming from now, is that while we might agree with you on a conceptual basis, this is the way to go, on a practical basis, is it such an improvement, as Mike said in his introduction, that it's worth, you know, this is a pervasive issue that goes across all industries. And that's our worry, that in cost-benefit terms, if I can put it that way, is this worth it? And what we've seen, we've been confused, sorry guys, trying to follow the debate. Are there two types of leases? Is there one type? And seen some flip-flopping.
That debate about the two type and one type, I think it was very unfortunate that we used the words finance and other than finance leases. I mean, that was a poor choice of terminology because, I mean, I certainly did not believe that there wasn't financing involved in all of these leases. A 10-year lease of an aircraft, there's financing involved in that. The whole thing about other than finance, it was about the straight lining of the P&L charge and whether we should have annuity depreciation. That's what it was about. It wasn't about financing or not financing. We simply got to that because of the old terminology of finance lease. I mean, that's, you know, why we were using those terms. It wasn't about whether they were financing or not, or services or not. I mean, this is a completely separate question about whether something is a lease or whether it's a service.
Waegu's been waiting for ages.
No, forget why we start. And after we issue ED, you know, we should recognize the right of use assets ideas got general support, generally accepted. And then people, you know, raised some issues about, you know, whether we should further simplify short term, and we did. And the people expressed concern about integral service, and we, you know, refining our definition of lease, and also decide under what conditions you separate the service, you have to separate service. And people also expect concern about contingent rental, and we simplified. And so after have done all these, I'm not sure what are the other concerns. And also you may, I think we all observed, originally, you know, our staff put another alternative, that is, you know, two type, but capitalized, the other type will be, you know, will recognize in income statement straight line, but after 5 months debate, both boards finally agree to stick on our original ideas. You know, now I'm not sure, you know, up to now we raised issues, we should totally ignore the, you know, support from all the world say stop. And both Francois and Roger said, you know, maybe we should start from the current model and improve the current model. Then can you give us some example of some areas we should improve and how to improve, maintain the current model?
Just what did staff want to buy in, and this will you have with it?
No, I don't think the staff really shouldn't respond to. I mean, to me, this is, as I said, quite an astounding revelation that's coming from you people. I don't think the staff should respond to it. Francoise, we never, when we explored this so-called two types of lease approach, that was never, we never contemplated that you wouldn't still recognise the right of use and the liability. This was to do with the P&L presentation, getting a nice, smooth P&L. So that was, that. I think it's unfair to say, you know, you reflected on it and you came up with these different types of leases, and that drops you back into the existing model because you're drawing a line between what should be on and what should be off. We were trying to be responsive to concerns about, you know, the accelerated recognition of an expense in the early term of the period of the lease. So I just can't... If you people say to us that a conceptual framework's important, you need to be consistent when you're working on one project to another, then how can we be if you say to us in this circumstance, oh, there's an asset and liability arise out of a lease contract, but you don't recognise them, except maybe some short-term ones, which we're considering. So I find it hard to know how to proceed.
Katsumi.
I would like to ask a quick question. So, talking about the two types, financing and other than financing. So what if we apply the right of use asset, what concrete transaction you have troubles? I would like to know exactly the examples of you are facing the trouble. In my case, I have a trouble with office rentals, to recognize office rentals as a right of use assets and liabilities, and to recognize the sort of the unwinding interest at the inception of the contract. So I have a trouble with that, but I would like to know exactly what you have in mind.
Okay, but before that, we'll go to Philippe, and then we'll come back to Alfred.
I'm a little surprised. You're telling us now. I had a feeling, but maybe I just misread the situation, but that where we were in April, seeing some leases are entered into for financing purposes, some other are not financing purposes, but all the rights on use and liabilities would be on the balance sheet. However, in one case, there would be clearly the financing component would be separated and recorded as finance, and in the other case, the P&L charge would not be distorted by trying to always find the financing component. So we had this straight line amortization. I felt that you were comfortable with that proposal in April. Of course, we reverted in May to something else. But now it seems to me that you are not even comfortable with what we had in April. Is that correct? Or what's happened then?
Okay. There's a number of questions you might like to think about. Roger, did you want to make another comment?
No,
you're right.
I just wanted to say, picking up that earlier question, that we'd be very happy coming up with suggestions for how to use the current work that's been done as a way of improving IS 17. If that was the offer, we're happy to accept that.
Francois.
There have been a lot of things said, so it's a bit difficult to respond to them all. But certainly, I mean, can understand some of the comments that are made. I think it's fair to say that you have received support for recognizing on the balance sheet some of the leases that today under IA 17 are excluded from that recognition. I think that's fair to say. But you it's also fair to say, and it's not preparers, it's also a lot of users that have clearly indicated when they seek for having the rent charge in the income statement with no interest component being separately shown. I think it clearly reflects the fact that they're not acknowledging these transactions as being financing. And you have articulated that thinking, and on that I can say that EFRAG, European constituents that we've met have clearly said, yeah, I mean, the board is right, I mean, to see that there are two different types of leases. So the first, and maybe that way reconciles from what you have seen, we have also, in participating in the whole debate, also moved along in the thinking. And what we are saying today is probably, I mean, when we say stop and we think, we say, take the time to reconsider a possible different boundary between those arrangements that are financing transactions and those that are not. And probably that has to do with the rights and obligations in the contract themselves. So it may vary from one to the other. But it's certainly something to be worked on, so we don't have any ready answer to provide today. Also, in the exposure draft stage, you had two models for the lessors. So there also there was a reflection somewhat as to having different circumstances to tackle and reflect them differently. So you may, in reflecting on that boundary again, because you cannot, it would be incredible that the board concludes that after having acknowledged that arrangements have different economic nature, that the board conclude that they're going to be accounted for similarly. It's just not...
I think this is the point that Wagyu took on. I mean, there was consideration of what treatment in the profit and loss. And after the consideration, it was decided that this wasn't a proper course. Now, you're then saying, because we gave consideration to the fact that there might be two different models, therefore there are two different models, therefore we should go back and reconsider everything we've done. Well, I just think that's a very long bow. And I discussed that with you before, Francoise. I think that's not very consistent thinking. Anyway, Mike, it's your turn.
And if I can just add to what Francois said and perhaps try and reconcile Warren's astonishment at where we seem to be, I think that we always had concerns in terms of the right of use model in terms of implications for the profit and loss account. That's why the boards looked at and thought about whether or not they could do something in that space. I think some of the board's thinking in terms of recognising there were different aspects and therefore it might be worth looking at whether there was something different that you should do in the P&L account, in our view, was valid. That's all we're saying. You concluded that it was very difficult to reconcile the P&L treatment with the balance sheet treatment in terms of what you were looking at. And at the end of the day, you concluded that the balance sheet treatment was more important than the P&L treatment. And I think fundamentally, that's where we break company. Because we actually think the performance statement is more important in this context than the balance sheet. Simple as that. And therefore, if the logic of going down the path you would go is to distort the performance statement, we don't agree with it.
But we're getting a large number of conflicting messages. The beginning, first message was abandon the project, go back to IAS 17. And then we've moved on from that and we've had, well, let's have different boundaries for recognising a liability. And now you're saying, well, let's give more consideration to how we do the profit and loss treatment. I mean, if I understand the overall message, and that is slow down and rethink, but you know there's been a lot of thinking on these points. These are not new points, really, any of them. It's quite legitimate for you to raise them at this stage, you know, that we're going through. But we are getting very conflicting messages here. Very good.
I agree with Ian, you know, we've got different messages. You know, one message is totally back to 17. Another one is, you know, recognize the asset liabilities, but, you know, in the certain circumstances, not. And now you say, you know, the income statement in the first, let's follow your logic, you know. I would assume you said income statement should be straight line. And then question come out. First, how to draw a line? What kind of transactions, you know, if you use current financing lease model, what kind of transactions not? And secondly, if you agree, you know, day one you should recognize asset liability, and then forget about whether there is a financing element in it. I don't think up to now all our discussions still concentrate on financing or not. This idea is already gone. You know, financing aspects is a natural consequence of, you know, recognizing day one by discounting the future payments. This is natural consequence. You have primarily money issues there. But I'm not sure, you know, Mike, if you want to have straight line, P&L, on P&L, and you have to recognize their own asset liability at present value, and how can you get? Now, we discuss, debate different models, you know, for example, annuity method or some kind of other ideas. But from what we heard, even within Europe, there are such a strong message we got to against use annuity method and others. I'm not sure what's, you know, natural consequence from your ideas, start from income statement.
Mike.
Okay, but let's not try and turn it around a little bit in terms of saying, we're trying not to give you mixed messages. Okay. We have a very simple message, because this is all about drawing lines. You know, as Stephen, I think, said, this is not about putting executory contracts on the balance sheet, for example. So you've automatically drawn a line. This is not about putting service contracts on a balance sheet. You've drawn a line. An awful lot of contracts have service components, asset-backed components, whatever else there is. At some point, you have to draw a line. And the very simple message, and that has consequences for if the board, and I understand why the board came to the view that it needed to keep its balance sheet and its performance statement treatments in line, if I can put it like that. So wherever you draw that line is going to have implications for the balance sheet and the performance statement.
That's true.
And very simply, we do not believe where the board is heading is drawing that right line in the right place in order to provide the most useful information to investors, taking into account their needs regarding the performance statement as well as the balance sheet.
Okay.
If you were to draw that line, we would draw it nearer, not necessarily in the same place, but nearer where IS 17 has it today, than where you seem to be heading. That is the very simple message.
Now, Mike, I challenge you by using simple example. Without service, without contingent rental, an asset with 10 years useful life, lease term 7 years, what kind of method do you want to use?
Sorry, the?
Simple transactions.
Yep.
You know, 10 years useful life, 7 years lease term. You won't use traditional financing lease models or using another model, either operating or straight line.
Okay. To start with, I don't think there's anything such thing as simple necessarily in this world.
But we must start with simple.
Well, we can start with simple, but my first question to you is that all there is? So if that asset breaks down, who bears the risk of that asset breaking down? Or have I got a contract where actually I'm taking a service? Because I think one of the concerns we have is that the way you're thinking about this is that the time period seems to be the be-all and end-all. And there's lots of other bits that tend to get wrapped around this. You know, if I'm leasing an asset from you, which has a life of 7 years, sorry, life of 10 years, and I'm leasing it for 7, and it breaks down, and your obligation is to replace it with another one that I can continue to use for that 4 years, that has more of a service component to it, albeit a very heavy financing aspect, than it does in terms of the financing. You can't draw some of those simple distinctions. That's part of the problem.
Well, that's well understood, Mike, and the board spent many, many hours debating exactly those things, and we can take a point that you don't agree with all the conclusions. But I think we're a long way from where we started. I'm glad we've got to where we've got, if I can say it that way.
Can I just make one quick comment then before I know you're going to move on? I think we need to be really careful that we don't have the tail wagging the dog here. And I think if you're focusing on the P&L presentation, there's a little bit of that. It's not that it's not important, but you need to go back to why we got into this in the first place. And that was that demonstrably IS 17 and its equivalent in the US was not meeting the needs of investors. They told us that they make rule of thumb estimations of the gearing or leverage of entities by looking at disclosures of operating leases. And I think it was acknowledged that from both them and from preparers who were being affected by these rule of thumb estimations calculations, that we're better off with a model that actually reports those assets and liabilities arise out of the contracts. So there was a clear demand from investors for better information about these assets and liabilities that are off balance sheet. After the Enron WorldCom debacles, you might recall the Congress asked the SEC to provide a report to them about areas of financial reporting that are in need of reform and improvement. This was one of those identified by the SEC, and they observed that there were billions and billions of dollars of liabilities off the balance sheets of US companies as a result of leases. You know yourself, Mike, there's been so much structuring, it's like a cottage industry around IS 17 at the moment and the equivalent in the US. These are all the sorts of reasons why we got into it, and we tried to have consistent accounting across our different circumstances and transactions. If a contract gives rise to an asset and a liability, report it. So that's where that came from. So you shouldn't lose sight of that in terms of the debate we've been having recently.
Francois, time is moving on, so I'll give you the final word on leases.
Thank you for saying that. I think I would want to emphasize, the consistency of our messages throughout time. We had recommended LDP and ED stage that conceptually the model be better grounded. We are not saying today, we are not denying anything that you have said, Warren. And if you read back to our comment letter, we said we support the right of use model, provided that you define the boundary right between leases and service arrangements. We are not saying anything else today that is different. We're just telling you, you haven't define that boundary right. You should rework on it. And the outreach events have taught us that at present there is a complete misunderstanding between the ISB and European constituents settling in on this issue because of that boundary not being set in the right place. So if you want that project to really be an improvement and to satisfy the needs that you have highlighted, please, and be implemented and accepted, please spend the time necessary to rethink that issue. Because the other feedback that we had on this project is that basically on the other issues, but they are not as fundamental, the deliberations have satisfied most participants. So really make the boundary right, take the time to rethink it, define it right, and then you have a good prospect that this project can move along positively. Because if you move on that basis, it would not necessarily be perceived as an improvement. But I would agree that we need to move.
Yeah, move on. Thank you. Insurance.
Insurance, I've been designated.